It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, welcome back into the Nick Bob Podcast Bracket Preview Edition. Today, we're taking a look at the South region. I'm picking every single game in this region. Top four seeds in the South are as follows. Number one seed, Alabama. Number two seed, Arizona. The three seed is Baylor. And the four seed is Virginia. Got some potential exciting matchups in the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 looming that we will get to. But let's get to it. Here we go. South region. I'm picking every game. Let's go. One seed, Alabama. 16 seed. You got the play-in game. Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, Southeast Missouri State. Bama wins. I'm not going to elaborate on it. We got more pressing games to get to. I don't think we're going to have a UMBC Virginia sort of situation with this one. Next game. 8 seed, Maryland Terrapins. 9 seed, West Virginia. So I'll be honest with you guys. I'm going to be honest. Apparently in my coffee this morning, it's truth serum. I'm going to keep it emoji 100 with you guys. So I had Maryland on TV on FS1 in mid-February. I watched a lot of film preparing for that game. It was Maryland at Nebraska. And when I'm watching film, I kind of was scratching my head. I wasn't blown away with them on film. I was like, I don't think this team's, I don't know. Okay. And then I watch them live and in person, and Nebraska beat them in overtime. And I was like, okay. Not bad. I'm not saying they're a bad team. But I look at them. They don't shoot it great. I think they're just okay talent-wise. And I actually think West Virginia is pretty talented. Played in the toughest league in America, the Big 12. Eric Stevenson is a stud for West Virginia. He can really shoot it. They run a lot of different actions to get him threes and run him off staggers and different looks. Joe Toussaint, Iowa transfer, he's tough. Bob Huggins can coach. I personally think Kevin Willard overachieved with this Maryland team, in my opinion. Plus, you look at what they've done. Maryland has really struggled. And this may be putting it politely. Maryland has really, really had a hard time away from home. They've not played well when they've had to travel outside of Maryland. So I'm going to take West Virginia to take down Maryland. Next game, 5 seed, San Diego State, 12 seed, Charleston. So great game. And it's unfortunate. You know, Charleston, you always feel bad for these mid-majors that have just amazing years and they get to the NCAA tournament and they get, you know, a 12 seed. I get it, but it's frustrating. You know, I mean, Charleston is 31-3. They won 31 games. Pat Kelsey can coach, but this is a bad matchup, in my opinion. Chew on this for a second. Charleston, 47% of Charleston's field goal attempts are threes. That's ninth most in the country. 37% of their points are from three. That's 28th most in the country. So they rely on the three ball. Well, San Diego State, seventh in the country in three-point defense. This San Diego State team can really defend. They went to the NCAA tournament last year. They returned 4 starters from that team. They're 10th at KenPom in defensive efficiency. I watched them courtside versus Creighton last year. This defense is legit. They're strong. They're long. They're active. I love Charleston's story, but I think San Diego State gets them. I got the Aztecs winning and going to the second round. Next game, 4 seed Virginia, 13 seed Furman, the Paladins. Kind of a toss-up game. I'll be honest. I don't love Virginia. I just think their talent is okay. And with Virginia and that pack line defense, Tony Bennett, like you got to be able to hit jump shots against the pack. You just do. It's hard to kind of really just live in the lane. You got to be able to hit some threes, and Furman can. Furman makes 9.5 threes a game. That's 20th best in the country. I think this is a really, really close game. And with Virginia, it's always, you know, lower possession. It's kind of hard to blow out Virginia, run away from them. I think it's a close game. I think it's a toss-up. I don't feel super strong about it. So if you guys are listening to this to take advice from me and on filling out the bracket, I mean, you take everything with a grain of salt. I don't feel super strong about it, but I'm going to take Furman in the upset. I think Furman can get them. I don't think Virginia is just one of those power conference teams that's got pros everywhere and superb chiseled athletes everywhere. That's not really how Virginia is. So I think Furman can get them. I'll take Furman in the upset, 13-4. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. Next game, 6-seed Creighton Blue Jays, 11-seed NC State Wolfpack. So, you know, this is a dangerous NC State team. They got really explosive guards. You could make a case this is maybe three of the best guards Creighton's faced all year, but you could argue they're probably not the best. I should tell you, they're not the best trio of guards, but they're explosive, man. They really can score. Taquavion Smith, oh my God, this dude is in a perpetual state of a heat check. Like, this guy walks onto the floor and he has that feeling like he just hit 5 in a row, even if he's missed his last 10. His confidence is through the roof and he is hunting shots and being aggressive. He's 17 points per game, second team all ACC. He's made 90 threes and he'll shoot them from anywhere on the floor. Jarkel Joyner, he's made 62 threes and he averages 17 points per game, and he's arguably been hotter the last couple of weeks than Smith has. Then there's Casey Morsell, who can really shoot it. He's made 77 threes and he averages 12 points per game. So between those three guards, you got 46 points per game, and they've combined to make 229 threes on the year. So Creighton's guards better be ready to defend the three-point line and deal with the trio of Wolfpack guards. DJ Burns is a fun player inside for NC State, kind of a big, beefy, bull, husky sort of a guy. Started his career at Tennessee, then went to Winthrop, and then transferred to NC State. He's one of those guys, he's pretty mobile on offense, but I think his mobility struggles and lacks on defense. I think Creighton puts him in a million ball screens. Kalkbrenner's length and shot blocking will bother him in the paint. NC State is a team that's active, and they're trying to pressure and press a little bit. They chart deflections. Their goal is to get 40. So Creighton has to be ready to handle the ball, handle pressure, which is something in spots and moments the Blue Jays have struggled with. But I think Creighton wins this game. I think the difference in the game is Ryan Kalkbrenner controlling the paint. I think he scores at the rim. I think he protects the rim. Creighton's defense is legit. 15th at KenPom. I think that leads the charge along with Kalkbrenner. I got Creighton over NC State. 3-seed Baylor, 14-seed UC Santa Barbara. Baylor's guards, they're not going to let a big upset happen. I just don't see it. I think Baylor wins and upsets UC Santa Barbara. I just think those trio of guards for Baylor aren't going to let anything crazy happen in the first round. 7-10 matchup, 7-seed Utah State, 10-seed Missouri. Another game that's a true toss-up for me, like a lot of the, you know, the 8-9 or 7-10 games usually are. I mean, the spread's usually 1 or 2 for a reason, because they kind of go either way. Both teams are really good offensively. Both teams can really score. Of the four units, you know, Missouri's offense, Missouri's defense, Utah State's offense, Utah State's defense. Missouri's defense is probably the worst of the four units. But I'm going to lean with Kobe Brown for Missouri, and the fact that Missouri has played a tougher competition this year in the SEC, I think that's going to shine through. And even though Utah State's not bad on defense at all, I'm going to take Missouri to take down Utah State. Next game, 2-seed Arizona, 15-seed Princeton. Don't need to elaborate on this one. I think Arizona wins big. I got Arizona moving on to the second round. Okay, second round games in the South region. 1-seed Bama, 9-seed West Virginia. West Virginia's going to give Bama a game here. They're going to give them a fight. Bob Huggins' group is one of, they're not just going to roll over and die, but Bama's loaded, man. Brandon Miller, Javon Quinn Early, they're just too good for West Virginia. I think Bama moves on, but I will say this. I do wonder about the looming cloud of drama around Brandon Miller and all the drama around Bama and the unfortunate incident this year where a teammate shot and killed I think it was a 23-year-old female in downtown Tuscaloosa, and Brandon Miller was the one that I mean, I don't want to get it, like, delivered the weapon. So again, Brandon Miller, he's a witness, not a suspect, but nevertheless, there's been a big cloud of drama around the program. And so the reason I bring that up is two things. Does it ever get to Brandon Miller? It hasn't yet, in terms of being a distraction and having it impact his game. And then the other thing I wonder is, does this story slowly fade as each day passes, or does it go the other way? Does it get more heightened because of the stage? Like, each moment that Bama's on the big stage, does this become a bigger story and a bigger story and a bigger story? I don't know. My guess is the latter. I think it's going to be a bigger story, a bigger story, and a bigger story. I do know this for this game. Bama's the better team, and Bama's going to win and go to the Sweet 16, but I'm curious to see how that story kind of factors into things. Next game to talk about, San Diego State, 5 seed, 13 seed, Furman. Sneaky interesting matchup here because Furman runs some Princeton stuff. San Diego State really stunts at the ball on penetration, which means by stunting at the ball, you kind of go at the ball. So if I'm guarding on the wing and someone from the top of the key is kind of driving to the elbow, I'm gonna stunt towards the elbow. I'm gonna move towards the elbow, which in theory opens those back doors up. So there could be some success there from Furman. And again, I told you they can shoot the ball, make about 9.5 threes a game. I just think San Diego State over the course of 40 minutes are going to eventually sink their teeth into Furman defensively. Again, San Diego State 10th in the country in KenPom's defensive efficiency ranking. I think San Diego State's defense leads the charge. I think the Aztecs win, and I got San Diego State going to the Sweet 16. The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. You know, there are a lot of ways to greet someone. Hey, hi, hello, what's up? Another way is, what's popping? Well, here's the thing. That greeting has taken on a new meaning now because the answer to what's popping is now Runza's new popcorn chicken. That's what's popping. Runza's new popcorn chicken is amazing. Little, bite-sized, delicious all white meat chicken that make any day better immediately. I love them. My wife loves them. My kids cannot get enough. 2-year-old Mac, 6-year-old Mava are constantly wanting to get it popping. Great for a snack, great for a meal. Pair them with the best crinkle fries on planet Earth, and you are set. All I got to say is you need to get out to a Runza location nearest you and get it popping. What's so hard to understand about that? Get it popping with Runza's all-new popcorn chicken. Runza makes it all better. Next game to talk about, 3 seed Baylor Bears, 6 seed Creighton Blue Jays. How about this stat I heard from Jordan Sperber at Hoops Vision 68. He's a good follow. Baylor gets 15 points per game on jump shots off the dribble, most in the field. I bring that up because Creighton is a team that kind of defensively wants teams to shoot that shot. They want guys to shoot jumpers, mid-range jump shots off the dribble. Well, Baylor can do that. Baylor can make those shots. So that's kind of an interesting game within the game. I think Creighton's good enough to win this. I really do. And I also am a little concerned with how Baylor has kind of limped into the tournament. I don't know if that's maybe too strong of a way to put it, but Baylor's lost 4 of their last 6 games, so they're 2-4 heading into the big dance here. I am one of those guys that is a big believer in momentum in March, and I do wonder where Baylor's at in that regard. Are they feeling good about themselves? Are they flying high? I'm not totally sure, but what I am sure of is I just can't bet against those 3 Baylor guards. I just can't. When it's right, which it is more often than not, those 3 dudes, Adam Flagler, Keontae George, LJ Cryer, they might be the best guard trio in the country. Keontae George is a freshman NBA lottery pick. Adam Flagler averaged 9 points per game on the title team 2 years ago. He averages 15 points per game now. And LJ Cryer was on the title team, and he's been around for 3 years, and he's averaging 14 points per game. this year. And they can all shoot it from three. 44 points per game between the three of them. They combined for 228 threes between the three of them. They've all made right around 75 threes. They're arguably the best guard trio in college basketball, which is why they're ranked number two in the country in offensive efficiency in the country, in the nation. Like, KenPom has them as the second best offense in the country. And it's all because of those three guards. Now, I will say defensively, this isn't... Baylor's not as good as they've been in the past. They're actually outside the top 100 ranking in KenPom's defensive efficiency ranking, which is a little surprising, but it's still a no-middle defense where they're forcing baseline, they're flooding to the ball, they're trapping on the baseline, they scramble, they rotate, they make it hard. So handling the ball will be vital again for this one for Creighton. I think Creighton can win this game. I think it's a close one. I think Kalkbrenner is going to loom large inside. Creighton's got multiple... shot makers and creators in Alexander, Nembhard, Shireman, Kaluma at that four spot. Neither team is overly deep. So, I mean, Creighton's the higher-ranked KenPom team, you know, like, in terms of defense. And Creighton's got NCAA tournament experience. So, Creighton can win this game, but I'm just going to lean the guards for Baylor. I'm going to say Baylor wins a really close game and is headed to the Sweet 16. Next matchup. Next game. 2 seed. Arizona. 10 seed. Missouri. I'll just say this. Keep this short and sweet. All of Missouri's holes on defense will become big time problematic against Arizona's offense. Enough said. I got Arizona winning and heading to the Sweet 16. Okay, Sweet 16 matchups in the South region. 1 seed, Bama. 5 seed, San Diego State. Week to rest and prepare for Bama to attack the San Diego State defense is going to make a big difference. I also think Javon Quinn Early and Bama's ability to get out and push the pace and score in transition and increase the tempo is going to be vital. Bama's 4th in KenPom's tempo ranking in the country. Bama likes to play fast. They get points in transition, which is important because you can if you can beat San Diego State's half-court defense down the floor, guess what? You don't have to deal with that amazing half-court defense that the Aztecs have. I think they're going to do a lot of that. Bama runs drop coverage defensively against ball screens. Matt Bradley for San Diego State can hit mid-range shots, so that's a good thing for San Diego State. But Bama's just too electric offensively. I don't think San Diego State's going to be able to have an answer for Brandon Miller with his size and skill set. I think Bama gets some points in the open floor, and that's going to be the difference in this game. I'll take Bama over San Diego State to go to the Elite Eight. Next Sweet 16 game. 2 seed Arizona, 3 seed Baylor. I will say this, Baylor's guards, I think, are better than Arizona's guards, but Arizona's front line is better than Baylor's, and I think that's going to loom large. I think Azulis Tubelis is a stud for Arizona. He's a first-team All-American caliber player, and he is really, really good in the high-low game with Umar Ballo, who is just a load inside. And he's great in pick and rolls. He's great at scoring in short rolls and passing. He's got really good chemistry with point guard Kirk Creasa for Arizona. I think Arizona's front line and their points in the paint scoring is going to be the difference in this one. I got Arizona advancing over Baylor and going to the Elite Eight. Okay, Elite Eight matchup. 1 seed, Alabama. 2 seed, Arizona. Here's... this game, I can't wait for this game. Arizona is one of the few teams that can run with Alabama and go toe-to-toe in transition in a fast-paced, up-tempo game. They're one of the few teams that can run with Bama and arguably be better in a game like that. So this game, I think, will be electric. I think it's going to be a high-scoring, fast-paced, incredibly fun game to watch. Arizona is really good scoring the ball in an open floor game, and they can run with Bama. I like the experience of Arizona here. I like that I like the front line of Arizona, like I talked about. And to me, as long as Arizona doesn't get a crazy Kirk Creasa game to the bad, he's really talented. Creasa is and fearless, and I love his confidence. But boy, can he have some bonehead moments with technical fouls and and shot selection. Like, every once in a while, Carissa can have moments where you're going, oh, God. I think if he's just a little bit disciplined, that's going to go a long ways. And I like Pelle Larsson and Courtney Ramey to be solid. And I think Arizona is going to actually get more easy baskets at the rim with Umar Ballo and Tabellis. I really like Tommy Lloyd as a coach. I think we have an epic game here. This might be the best Elite Eight game we have. I think Arizona can beat Bama. They can run with them. They're good in the open floor. In fact, Arizona welcomes that. Arizona is going to be able to get more easy baskets, in my opinion. I like Arizona in a close one to beat the one seed Alabama Crimson Tide and win the South region, and Arizona is headed to the Final Four.
A Herd at Sports Network production.